we give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, that we can come into your house. We can worship you. We thank you for the giftings that you have set within this body, but Lord, also the giftings outside of the body that you brought in. We thank you for this week and just the ministry that occurred to all the women. And Father, we pray your blessing upon Penny and Keith. Lord, return her home back to her family in safety. But Lord, with a refreshing, with a fresh anointing, with a fresh vision. And Father, we lift up Pastor John now as he brings forth the word this morning. We pray, Lord, that these words would refresh us, that give us vision, there'd be an impartation, a supernatural ability, Lord, that we would desire to push in and to know you, Lord, so that we could go out and be more effective in expanding the kingdom. Father, we thank you. We pray your blessing upon this word now. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. You know, Roger, I understand that every time you buy Pastor Don a cup of coffee, he puts $2 in his retirement fund that he doesn't have to spend. I just want to let you know also, we have palms back there for anyone who wants them after the service. This is Palm Sunday. And I know some people like those, so we have them for everyone. You can pick them up on the way out, and we got plenty there for everybody. So feel free to grab one or two if you got a relative or somebody you want to bring them to, your neighbor, something like that. Feel free to do that. And I know there are some people who are very handy at making crosses out of them and stuff like that. I won't name her right now, but she's walking back there. She's trying to. Over the past few months, we've been talking about getting closer to God. And in Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Here I am, I stand at the door, and I knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." And God is telling us there, what he's trying to say is that I want to get to know you. I want to come over and have dinner with you. I want to come over, sit down, and fellowship with you. He wants to have a close personal relationship with us. That's why it says in Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near to God." What a privilege to be invited, you know, to be close to God. I mean, to think of that, I mean, that the God of this universe would say, "Come on, I really want to get to know you." I mean, what could possibly compare to that? Paul understood that, and that's why he said in Philippians 3:8 that I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. A relationship with Christ is the only thing that can satisfy the spiritual hunger that God put in us, that we feel, that we know. Sometimes we don't recognize it for spiritual hunger, and I mentioned before, we'll go stand in front of the refrigerator all night, you know, and we'll be looking to see what we can get, or we go and we run after this, we run after that, when really it's God calling and drawing us, and we find this hunger, and we unfortunately sometimes try to fill it with the wrong things. But Jesus said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." That's what we need to get filled up with, is Christ. God wants us to slow down, to be still and know that he is God. To get to know him. It's only getting to know him in all his glory that this world starts to lose its seductive power over us. You know, and it has a hold on so many people. There's an allurement there, you know, on this world, from the world into, you know, all the people of this world. There's this drawing of the things of the world, the things of the flesh. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the fact that if we want to draw closer to God, we have to be forceful in our pursuit of him. Forceful. And this is the final part of this message of being forceful. We saw that being a wimpy, half-baked, part-time, lackadaisical Christian will never get us to the place that we want to be with Christ. It just ain't going to work. Many who claim to be Christians only have sort of a half-hearted commitment to Christ, and they won't stand against the world and stand up for Christ. I was glad, I know last week I mentioned Hobby Lobby, about how, you know, they stood up and they're fighting you know, the government in court because they're standing up for their Christian beliefs. I also wanted to mention there's another company. There's a man that's the owner there. His name is Dan Cathy. And he's the owner of Chick-fil-A. And he also has stood up for his Christian beliefs. And the company, which is closed on Sundays, by the way, was boycotted and picketed by homosexual activists after the company president stated his support for traditional marriage. They went crazy on him. They were picketing. They were out there, you know, just lambasting the Chick-fil-A places. And all he wanted to do was he wanted to just say that how he believed in traditional marriage and that he wanted to honor God. Well, instead of backing down when the protesters showed up, they continued to serve their customers, continued to stay open, and you know what they did? They actually even gave free food to the picketers. Well, eventually the boycott fell apart. Sales went up faster than they had ever gone up before. And now Chick-fil-A has surpassed KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, in sales, and they are the number one chicken, you know, industry restaurant in the industry out there. They only have not even half as many stores, but they have more sales. Can you believe that? Because God has blessed their business because they've been forceful in their, you know, their stand for God. And that's our job. That's our job to be, you know, forceful in our pursuit of God and His kingdom. We saw many different examples of how forceful Jesus was. And I'm not going to get into all of them. We've already talked about that. We saw that now, though, that Jesus wants to live through us. So He wants us to take up the mantle. The torch has been passed down to us. And so now it's our job to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. That's why God tells us in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women lay hold of it. Luke 16:16 says, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. It wasn't easy to be a Christian. It wasn't easy then. It wasn't easy, you know, later on. It isn't easy now. But we have to push ourselves into the kingdom. We have to make ourselves get in there, and once we get in, we know it's the right thing. We know what's true. But there are so many things to go beyond it, and this world is against it. So we have to like break through that barrier to get in and to know the reality of Christ and His kingdom. We're told in Ephesians, we also have been given, you know, this whole thing about being forceful. God has given us power to be forceful through His Holy Spirit. He's also given us His Word, which He calls the sword of the Spirit. That's sort of forceful, right? The sword. He doesn't say the butter knife of His Word. You know, He doesn't say the celery stick of His Word. He says the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:13, it says to put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you've done everything to stand. Well, guess what? The day of evil is here. There's evil all around. It's everywhere. And it's a battle that's going on, and God has drafted us into His army. He's brought us in. Paul calls some of the other Christians that he worked with 3 or 4 times, he calls them my fellow soldier. God is expecting us to be proudly proclaiming the truth of His gospel. He wants us to let our light shine so that other people can see the good deeds and give glory to our Father in heaven. God's calling us to step out of our comfort zones, to forcefully seek His kingdom, pushing through all the distractions, you know, all the obstacles, and figure out how to get close to Him. That's what we're talking about, getting close to God and doing it, making it happen, even if it takes force. We have to have the mindset of entering the battle and fighting the good fight. We have to determine in our hearts that nothing is going to stop me. I am going to get close to God. I'm going to push through. I'm going to get close to God. That is my goal this year. I want to get closer to God because there's nothing better. Last week we saw that the first and most important place to be forceful is when we're dealing with ourself. That's one we really have to be forceful with, is ourself. Our spirit within us is crying for a deeper relationship with God. All the time. God has put His Spirit in us. And you know, inside, it's like there's this longing for God. But this fleshly, carnal nature, this covering that we got here, doesn't want it. It fights us at every turn. But I'm going to say it again for the millionth time. We are not flesh and blood that just happen to have a spirit inside. The real us is spirit. And the flesh and the blood is temporary. It's passing, it's fading, it's going to be gone. And the one we want to take care of, the one that's most important, the one that is essential, the one that's living for all eternity, is the spirit within us. Whose call do we want to answer? This flesh, which wants nothing but pleasure and lust and perversion and everything, or the spirit, which is crying out for God? Paul compares this fight to someone fighting like a boxer, except the opponent is himself, his own body. 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 27, he says, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body, pounding his own body and making it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. What's the prize? Christ. Heaven. Being reunited with our Father. Jesus went so far that he even said, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands and two feet and end up thrown into the eternal fire. Was Jesus literally talking about cutting off his hands, his feet? Of course not. It's not your hand or your foot that sins. I have yet to catch my foot in a sin. You know? It just doesn't do it. You know? It's up here. It's my mind. It's my heart where the sin is. I make the members of my body go along for the ride. What he's telling us is that no matter how close or how important something is to us, if it's harming our relationship with God, it has to be dealt with and gotten rid of. Dealing with the self, this self, is critical. It's critical for our success as a Christian. We have to find ways to force ourselves to submit, to get closer to God, and that requires discipline. We've looked at three different things. I'm just going to touch them briefly. The Holy Spirit, you know, is a tremendous help, and in fact, self-discipline or self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. As we're more and more full of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, that self-control and discipline will be there so that we will move towards God. Remember in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God's Word will also help us grow in discipline. His Word is alive and has the power, you know, to reach right down inside of us. Reach right down inside there and cut through all the clutter and all the garbage and all the filler and all that stuff. Then speak to our heart and tell us what is good, what is right, what is true, what is praiseworthy, admirable, excellent. Speak to us. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. That is just so amazing to me to think that, you know, you can read a book and that book will speak back to you and it will do a dissection. It will do like surgery on your thoughts and your attitudes. If your heart and your mind are open, God will speak to you and tell you where you're wrong. Tell you where your thinking is wrong. Tell you where your heart is wrong and help you get it right. Another thing that helps us grow in discipline is the support of the body of Christ. Those people that God has put in our life to challenge us, to help point us in the right direction, to help us in all kinds of different ways. That's why it's important that we build relationships, that we get connected to the body of Christ, that we learn how to speak the truth to one another in love. The next area that we need to be forceful with, we haven't touched on any of this yet, is the word or the world. We need to be forceful in dealing with the world. 1 John 2:15 and through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, The lust of the eyes and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. That's a pretty forceful statement. It says if you love the world, you don't love God. Just like that. God just lays it out like it is. He's not afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. He's not afraid of being a little bit hard, a little bit tough. He just tells it like it is. If you love the world, you don't love me. That's what it comes down to. The biggest problem we have with the world is that we are so attracted to all the enticements, all the different things of the world. It's not the world itself. It's the world system, the world culture, the world, you know, all the playthings in the world. The world that God made it was good. We all like the things of this world. But we have to remember that even though we're in this world, we're not of the world. So there's a lot of things here we can enjoy. But we have to remember that we're just passing through. We're just on a journey. We're sojourners. We're passing through this time and this world, and we don't want to get bogged down by things that are passing away. I once saw a movie where there was this guy, him and some others, they found this underwater cave that was filled with treasure. So this guy, you know, he starts filling up his pants pockets, he starts filling up his shirt pockets, he starts filling up his backpack, you know, he's dumping all his food and supplies out, he's looking around for other things he can, put gold in, and his friends started warning him, you know, that's going to be too heavy, you're never going to be able to swim out of here. But, you know, he just kept going. Well, it was time to go, and of course everybody else is gone because he had to stay behind and get every last piece he could get. So he finally goes into the water and tries to swim, and guess what? He can't swim, and in fact, he starts to sink down, 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 and he has this look of panic on his face. And I'm not sure if the panic was because he thought he was going to die or because he realized he wouldn't be able to keep all that gold and spend it. Well, it shows him clutching his gold and going down to the bottom and drowning. He got his gold, but he died. That's like holding on to the things of this passing world. They'll kill us. They'll kill us. We have to force ourselves not to become too attached to the things of this world. God's word specifically tells us that we can't serve both God and money, both Him and money. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Ecclesiastes 5:10, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income, but this too is meaningless. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many grief. And there are some things in there about money. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible about money, all kinds of stuff. Jesus talked about money a lot. You know why? Because money touches us in every area of our life. Money is how we survive. That's how we pay our bills. That's how we buy food. That's how we buy clothes. We all need money. And there's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that gets us into trouble. It's the attitude that, oh, I can't have enough. I got to get more. I got to get more. I'm not satisfied. I got to have more. You know, and trying to, you know, it's love. It says love one and despise the other. I don't want to love money and despise God. I don't think you do either. But how many times have we as Christians put money before God? Cheating somebody out of money that we owe them, or cheating God when we don't tithe, or putting more importance on earning money than coming to worship with our family and our friends and other believers. Stealing. Or any number of ways that loving money can lead us away from God. We need to be forceful in putting those desires to death. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's power or influence or, you know, something that we long for and we compromise what we know to be right or true to get it. Maybe it's sex or drugs or alcohol or any number of worldly pleasures. As I said before, I mean, you know, there's not every pleasurable thing is sinful. God gave us a beautiful world to live in and to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I love going camping and seeing all the great stuff, you know, going out on the water, or maybe just, you know, going outside for a walk, or the fruit on the trees. And I mean, you could just go on and on. There's so many things, you know, looking at a waterfall or looking at the stars up in the sky, or, you know, going for a walk in the summer rain. I mean, there's a million things you could think of that are nice on this earth, that are pleasurable, that are enjoyable. But if it's sinful, or if it's pulling us away from God because our heart is so stuck on it, then we have to be forceful enough to cut it off, just like Jesus said with cutting off that hand. That's what he's talking about. The last area I want to look at today is the spiritual realm. If you think our battle is only against ourselves or other people or the things that we can see in this world, I'm afraid that you're sadly mistaken. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." It's all around us. You know, it's very easy to forget that we live in a spiritual world. Like I told you, we are spirit, just covered by a temporary body. Well, there's a lot of other spirits out here around us that are working full time trying to take you down. They're out there. They're real. They are very real. And they want to destroy us. They hate the fact that we, you know, love God or want to get close to God. They hate it. And you know what? If we're not struggling in some way against the devil, then I have to start wondering, what's going on? Is there a problem here? Because the first man, Adam, and, you know, and Eve, and Paul, Peter, they struggled against the devil. Jesus even battled the devil in the desert. So I would imagine we could count on it for us. So if there's not some fight going on against some demonic power or force and you, then we just need to know they're not on vacation. They're not gone. They're not, you know, blind or deaf. Maybe we're just not in tune. Maybe we're not getting it. Maybe we're not understanding that we have to deal with these things. And it could mean that there's some areas in our life that we've just given in to and they've won. Maybe there's a secret sin that we just let keep going. Or maybe there's something else in our life where, you know, we used to fight it, but we gave up. Or maybe there's something that we've just never fought. We've never yet recognized or admitted that it's sin. And so the devil knows if he can just keep us, even just in one thing, that's going to keep us a little bit away from God, because we always have this feeling like, I can't get too close to God because I still got this sin in here. And if he can keep us at that level, always an arm's length away from God, he's happy. Because he knows how bad it gets for him when we get close to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to being the devil's puppet. You know, I lived that way for 25 years, and that was enough. I don't want him pulling my strings and making me do what he wants me to do. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, not demonic spirits. Don't you? Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. Those are the children of God, not the ones who are led by the devil. And you know what? We can't fight this battle in the natural. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, They have divine power. Power from God. Divine power to demolish strongholds. Those things that the devil's holding you down with. Those areas in your life that have, you know, they got like a fortress or a wall built around them that we haven't dealt with yet. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. All those analogies, all those things in there, it's all like battle, struggle, fighting. We have to be forceful against the demonic realm in our prayer life and through the using the Word of God, our sword, the sword of the Spirit, just like Jesus did when he was in the desert and he overcame the devil. We have to be filled by the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God and walk in the power of the Spirit just like Jesus did. That's how he fought the devil and overcame him. The devil doesn't have anything on you when you have a relationship with God. And when you have that close relationship with God, you know, he can't bust through. We have to use what we have from God forcefully, and then we can overcome all these things. You can be forceful against the devil. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. Not as Christians. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. He's a usurper. He's trying to take stuff that doesn't belong to him. I know one of Keith's favorite lines is, taking back what the devil stole. We don't want to give him any room. We don't want to give him any place in our life. He doesn't have anything on you when you use what God has given you. James 4:7 says, submit yourself then to God. In other words, get close to God. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. That means you got to be strong. We got to be strong and stand up against the devil. Resist him. I don't know if you guys heard about this just this week, last night, down in Texas, about the cattle that were going on down there. Some rancher's been, his cattle herds have been down there since 1870. He's been grazing on federal lands. And the Bureau of Land Management and the federal government came in and told him that they were going to have to get off there, and he owed them over $1 million in grazing fees. And he said, hey, I never had a contract with the federal government. I've been doing this. My family's been doing this for 140 years. And you're going to come and take away? They started taking his cattle, loading them up in trucks. They were out there. They were tasering his family. They were throwing them on the ground. This was all on the news. This was our government going after cows and our people. And so a bunch of people, different militias from around, some different congressmen, some sort of famous people went down there and started standing up for this guy. They resisted him. And you know what? The government backed down. I was glad to see it. You know, whether this guy was right or not, they don't have the right to come in there and start tasering. I mean, it was just about ready to turn into a gunfight. There was probably 100 to 200 people there, and all these agents with dogs and tasers and guns, and it was building up to that point. And then the government said, okay, we're backing down. We don't want this to turn into a bloody mess. They didn't want to see something like that happen again. Hopefully they don't sneak in the middle of the night and do something after everybody's calmed down. But I say that because I'm talking about resisting. They resisted, you know, the government there, the Bureau of Land Management, and we need to resist the devil. How do we do it? First, submit yourself to God. Get close to God. Draw near to God, what we've been talking about. And then we got the power behind us. If we were like this with God, the devil is not going to come after you like he does when you're out on your own. He may try a little something, but as soon as he realizes God's backing you up, he's out of there. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you. That sounds like we can be forceful against the devil, doesn't it? He's given us power, authority to trample on the snakes and to overcome all the power of the enemy and telling us nothing will harm you. When you have a close relationship with God, you know what? The devil worries about you. He starts getting scared about dealing with you. He may still try. He's still going to keep trying to lure you, but he gets worried. He gets worried. So we have to stand up and forcefully resist the devil, and he will flee. Don't let him play with your mind, because that's how he gets us. It starts up here. He will try to divide you from God, to cut you off from God, and he'll try to divide or cut you off from the people of God. That's what he'll do. God is into the restoration and reconciliation and unity business. That's what God's all about. Father, that they might be one as we are one. He came to reconcile us. He came to restore us. He wants us to be united. That is what God wants more than anything. A family, a body for his son. You know, the body of believers, the church, the bride of Christ. The devil is into division. He's into sowing seeds of discord. He's into disunity. Anything he can do to raise up something between husband and wife, friends, especially people in church. If he can get you mad at your brother or your sister, he loves it. He's just playing with you like a puppet. I'll make him do this. I'll make him do that. You know? And just getting in there and making us fight. That's not God. God's into reconciliation, to restoration, into love, into peace, into speaking with one another in truth and love. The devil's into gossip and lies and division and disunity. Two totally opposite ways. So we need to recognize the devil's playbook and understand that he is going to try to take you away from God. Always. And he'll try to take you away from God's people, because if you remember what Jesus said, what's the most important law of all? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's totally tied in together. If you want to love God, you've got to love his people. You can't say you love somebody who you can see and then say you love God who you can't see. It just doesn't work. So we need to recognize what he does. You know, in football, they got the little playbooks written right, little plays written right here on their wrists. And, you know, those guys are looking at them and stuff while they're out there on the field. We got to know the devil's plans and playbook. And you know what? It's in our book, the Bible. We can't let him get away with that when, you know, he wants to turn us away from God. We can't let him get away with it. We can't give into it. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. God will show you a way through whatever problem it is, whatever disturbance it is. If you turn to him, if you get into his word, God will show you a way to make it right. Whatever it is you're dealing with, things, people, places, persons, I don't care, whatever it is, God will show you how to make it right. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I was thinking about that. Not so you can get through it, not so you can, you know, avoid it, so you can endure it. Oh, how'd you make it through? Oh, man, I endured it, you know? I mean, so that means that sometimes it's still going to be rough, but we will endure. We will make it. That's why we need to know the Word of God. And that's why we need to use that Word for the way it's called, as a sword. The sword of the Spirit, so that we can battle the deceptions of Satan. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. There it is again. The devil schemes. There's another scripture, that verse that talks about so that we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. The devil is a master strategist. He's a schemer. He's a conniver. He's a bad boy. He's a bad dude. And he's always going to be trying to mess with you. We've been given everything that we need to fight the devil, to overcome the world, and to put our flesh to death. But we have to be forceful if we want to be successful. It's going to take work. Anything good takes work. Anything you do in this life that you become successful or get good at takes a lot of work, right? Well, you know, it takes work to become a good Christian. You know that? Everybody thinks that just because we got saved, it's done. It's not done. That's the beginning. Paul talks about us as being infants. You know, by this time you should be eating meat. You're still drinking milk. When are you going to start learning? When are you going to start growing? That's what he's talking about to the people, you know, people he's talking to in the Bible. And we need to look at that sometimes at us and say, am I growing? Am I becoming mature? Am I learning to become like Christ? Am I becoming more like him? It takes work. It takes time. People and situations are going to rise up against us. Things are going to come against us. But through Christ, we will have the victory. We will. God didn't create us to become overcome by evil. Not at all. In fact, he has called us to overcome evil with good. That's our job. We've been called to be overcomers. Romans 8:37 says that in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. That to me sounds like being an overcomer. More than conquerors. God's given us everything we need to be victorious because he loves us so much. And he wants us to pursue him. He wants us to run after him. He wants us to get close to him. There's only one way to pursue God, and that is with everything that you have within you. With every fiber of your being, you're beginning to, you know, just really take it seriously. Take it to the next level. You're not going to jump from, you know, A to Z, but you can certainly go from A to B. Take it to the next level. Or take it to the limit, you know. You know, somehow get up there, you know, and start taking it further. Forcefully running after God with all of our energy, with everything, all the opposition. Running after him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. That's what it means to love the Lord your God. God wants us to love him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we're going to do that, we need to do it forcefully. And we need to run after God as if our life depended on it. Because you know what? It does. It really does. All right, if I could have the prayer team come forward. I want to open this up for prayer this morning. If you have been wanting to get closer to God and you've been wanting to pursue God, maybe you feel like, you know what, I keep failing in this area. I keep messing up here. I need prayer. Take a step. Be forceful in pushing yourself up to the place where you say, you know what, I need help. That takes strength. That takes commitment. That takes discipline to be able to push yourself up and say, you know what, I need help. I could use prayer. And also prayer for anything else, health, well-being, whatever it might be. All righty? So let's close in prayer. And don't forget, we have coffee and donuts upstairs. Please stick around, have some fellowship. Don't forget, you got the palms back there if you want one of those. Mark has them right there. They'll be passing them out by the door. And we got plenty there, like I said. So, and who did, Troy, was it you that picked those up this year? Thank you, Troy, for getting those for us. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for showing us your truth, your word, Lord God, helping us to be able to fight the good fight, to be able to push through everything and get close to you, God. Lord, I know that is your heart cry, that you want your children to be close to you. Just like any parent wants their kids to come around them, Lord God, we want our children close to us, Lord, and you want your children close to you. So, Lord, help us. Help us to not become so enraptured with the things of this world and so stuck on ourselves. Help us to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Help us to fight the devil, to overcome him, to resist him, to be forceful against all these things, to break through them all and to get close to you, God. That's what we want. And we ask that you would help us to do that right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Thanks for coming out today.
You shine out of the ashes, we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. No.